Back in the 70s, Sangharakshita opened up a completely different way of approaching how you see with wisdom, how you see not self with the eye of wisdom. He picked up on a translation of the Sanskrit for wisdom, prajna, which is the same as panya. As this is a very famous translator who died not so long ago, named Herbert Gunter, who rejoiced in long translations of very simple words. And one of his translations of prajna is analytical appreciative discrimination. Try saying that when you're cleaning your teeth. And particularly this word, what he picked up on more than anything was this word appreciative, Sangharakshita, appreciative. And he started to talk about prajna as aesthetic appreciation. Aesthetic appreciation. You see the world, the objects, the person, with the eye of appreciation. Wisdom is more like seeing with the eye of appreciation. You see them as they are in themselves, without self-grasping, without trying to grasp a self out there, without seeing them from a self in yourself, a grasping self, because it's always a grasping self that we have. And he says, you stop seeing them in terms of use. You stop seeing them in terms of utility. We're always seeing things and people in terms of what we can get from them. Can we have sex with them? Can we have a relationship with them? Can we eat it? Can we take a photograph of it? You know, etc., etc. You know, when do we ever see the thing in itself? The thing in itself with the eye of appreciation. When do we ever see the beauty? Because if you're seeing the thing in itself with appreciation, you have to see the beauty of what's there, of the person, the thing, the scene. You see that when you start looking like that, you see that they're not fixed. It can't be a fixed thing. This thing of seeing in terms of use is always trying to fix something. You're always trying to make it something that you can use. But when you see with the eye of appreciation, looking for beauty, you let go of that fixing, of that using. And you in fact start to see that things cannot be defined. They can't be defined, they can't be fixed. You see that they can't even be conceived. What you start, particularly with people, what you start noticing if you practice this aesthetic seeing, this appreciative seeing, is the extraordinary and undefinable spiritual potential in the world around you, in the people around you. How can you fix and define or even conceive anyone or anything? It's actually impossible. When you and this comes really through the metta practice, through practicing the metta bhavana. When you really do the metta bhavana, when you really start to look with loving kindness at someone, you think it's actually impossible to define another person. It's completely impossible when you really look. Again, great artists sort of manage, you know, to pull this off. I mean, there's a great painting by Cezanne, I think it's in the Courtauld Gallery, of an old man with a pipe. You know, he's just a bloke down at the local bar, smoking a pipe, you know, just an old boy. And you really get the impression that Cezanne looked at this person. You look at it, and he's seeing the inconceivable nature, the inconceivability of this old boy with a pipe and a big hat. Incredible painting. Really painted with real love, real metta. So life is so full and rich and dynamic when you see with this wisdom of appreciation, with metta. You become weary of the suffering everywhere. You become weary of the suffering everywhere. The suffering that comes from fixing and defining. So much suffering comes from fixing and defining things. And you live to dispel that way of trying to fix things and define things. In other words, you enter the way of the Bodhisattva, the being dedicated to enlightenment. But not just for himself, but for and with all beings. And there's a great release of energy. When you stop fixing and defining and holding, there's a tremendous release of energy This is the Bodhisattva's Leela, the Bodhisattva's play, his Anubhogacharya, his way of supreme enjoyment. The Bodhisattva holds to nothing whatever because he's not fixing anything. He's always looking with this aesthetic appreciation. He's always looking with metta. And at that point, you're liberated into endless generosity, spontaneous activity. This lovely thing you get in the Zen ox herding pictures, very famous description of the path. And the last picture is called going into the marketplace with bliss bestowing hands. And you have this old boy, the picture is of an old boy, a seasoned Chan traveller, a seasoned Zen traveller, and he's got a grizzled beard and doesn't care what he looks like, and he just goes along spontaneously, and he can speak any language to anybody, going into the marketplace with bliss bestowing hands. And there's a lovely poem that goes in it, and one of them goes with the picture, and one of the lines goes, without troubling himself to perform miracles, suddenly dead trees burst into bloom. So there he is, going about, communicating, and he's not trying to do anything special, but people are turned on. People burst into bloom by his presence, by his communication. Well, that's where this particular insight ends. And tomorrow we're going to have some fun. We're going to kind of burst into bloom because we're going to have a look at the whole of the chapter on flowers tomorrow.